Good morning. Today is Friday, June the 17th, 171st day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer.
Good morning.
Good day to you. Our quote this morning it's from Plato. In the year 360 BC, quote, man is a tame, domesticated animal. You're right. I think he missed on that one. Just a wee little bit. Well, were you surprised or were you pleased or did you even have a horse in the race with the election earlier this month?
Certainly did not necessarily have a horse in the race. And I thought that our election here in Humboldt County, for one, we had, I thought, fantastic turnout compared to what we saw nationwide. At least on, you know,
what was the national figure? I know Humboldt County was 37% of registered.
Yeah, well, I just looked at some of the other states, and I don't know, the Democratic primary in North Dakota had 354 people in the entire primary, so I thought that was an interesting.
Well, that could be like about 75% turnout.
But I had more than 354 people walking by my office that day. I mean, in Arcata City Hall, we had lines for a substantial part of the day, and it is rare that I see that.
I would imagine having the two candidates probably made it a little exciting, a little bit more dynamic than normal.
Yeah, and we had our local particularly this time of the year. Race also.
Yeah,
but to have HSU out of session and to have that type of turnout, I think, at our council chambers anyway, it seems like a significant increase of what we normally see.
Do you favor the motor voter?
The motor voter.
Like Oregon has, where everybody gets the ballots three mailed out 3 weeks in advance, and you have to return them by... I think Curry County has got, I may be wrong, that occasionally happens, 12 polling stations for the entire county.
Yeah.
Because most of them serve as drop-off points
rather than
as mailing, because they have to be received by 5 o'clock on that Tuesday.
Well, and I think there's certain precincts, certainly in Humboldt County, that are receiving over 50% anyway by mail-in ballot. So I think there's some attraction amongst our sort of rural nature to do mail-in ballot.
Well, we have 121 precincts, and each one needs to have how many polling machines and how many setups and how many volunteers, and we never seem to have enough of any of them.
Yeah. We're considering maybe talking about some consolidation in Arcata. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of us, but one of the things that we've experienced over the last few elections is that we have polling in our schools, which, you know, has historically, I think, been a great place, and it brings the neighborhood closer to the school and has some access there. But our Arcata schools, anyway, are pretty impacted with traffic already in those neighborhoods. So, one, bring that level of traffic, and then with school site safety concerns that have been brought up over the last 5 years, there are a couple of years a day where it seems to be sort of a free-for-all on our campuses associated with voting. And so whether or not there wouldn't be a way that we could consolidate in maybe a city facility like the community center that could accommodate more polling spaces in one place. We also saw a lot of confusion in Arcata. We had several people that didn't know where their polling place was. So I think as they allow folks to register later and to register online, and then you've got to look online to find out where your polling place is, they don't necessarily have that time frame to send something out to the household. There might be some advantage in consolidating some polling places where you know that you can show up and vote, as opposed to show up, find out where to vote, and then go somewhere else. So,
KINS, News and Information Times, 819. We'll be back with more from Karen Diemer.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, this is graduation season as we kind of bundled our way through there in the intro. When Humboldt State is in session, what does it still mean as much to Arcata as it used to, with a lot of the students now living in McKinleyville, living in Eureka, and not everybody is concentrated in Arcata is historically was?
Yeah, they are all there on graduation weekend, and they're all there on homecoming weekend, and they're all there the first weekend of school. So, yeah, I think it definitely still means as much to Arcata. It is a wild weekend. Don't try to go out to dinner graduation weekend, you know, anywhere in the vicinity of Arcata unless you've got a reservation. But it's a really fun weekend. I mean, it's probably the crowdest farmers market that we have through the whole summer season, and it comes so early in the season.
Imagine if fruits and vegetables had actually come in.
This year the weather wasn't perfect graduation day, but they were able to hold all of the graduations outside. Handing out, you know, umbrellas and ponchos, depending on which session you went through. But overall, it was a very successful graduation up at Humboldt this year, and I think they're focused on graduation and focused on starting to get their students through in, you know, 4 to 4.5 years if they can.
Has there been any study that you feel that your confidence is there with that shows what the financial impact is to Arcata or to any university town on a per student basis? Because, you know, we hear about Humboldt's enrollment, okay, it grows 100.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that probably means another $1 million to the school with associated costs or revenues.
Mm-hmm.
But you never hear what that means to the community also, right, wherever they might happen to live. Is there a figure that's kind of a, even if it's just a kind of a shot in the dark?
Yeah, I haven't seen a figure, and I haven't seen a study, at least nothing that's been done in a long time. You know, what we do know is that students drive housing in Arcata, and that we've got several housing projects on the docket right now. We actually are looking at projects that have been submitted for close to 1,200 beds, I'll say. So one being a large student-only complex of 800 beds.
Oh, you can do a student-only? That's kind of, I mean, it's cool.
You can, yeah.
It sounds
and
cool.
It's, I mean, it's a private development that's come forward, and they're looking at four-story structures that would each house 200 students each. Each student gets their own bedroom and bathroom, and then they share a common small living and kitchen space.
So they're like quads.
Yeah, but okay. They're only for matriculating students, and they come with some of what you would see on sort of campus amenities. So they'll have a fitness center and a computer room and
swimming
what
pool.
They call kind of an internet cafe. Haven't seen the swimming pool in the plans yet.
Oh, man.
And it's not, you know, through all of our discretionary permits in the Planning Commission yet, but they have submitted actual plans to come forward and to try to build that as a private development specifically for students. So
not uncommon.
Not uncommon in other states, for sure. This is a model that's been used across the nation. Less common in California, but certainly I think both the UC and the CSU system are looking at what they call these P3s, or these private public partnerships, in terms specifically of housing. And then hopefully, you know, they can, the systems can continue to focus on the academic facilities that they need for their students.
Well, on the flip side, if I'm a university or college administrator with some influence, I'd be building the crap out of all the dorms.
Yeah.
I would have as much for the college experience and the college life on campus, mm-hmm, that, you know, the intramurals and some of those types of programs, or the musics and the concerts and things that, if you're living 15 minutes away, okay, now it's a 30-minute round trip, and you got parking, mm-hmm, the students don't get to participate in those elements that a lot might say really is critical to their overall experience because they do live off campus. I would drive that bus as long as you could go.
And Humboldt is seriously looking at additional housing. I mean, they just built some additional housing in the College Creek apartments, and they are a little bit more apartment style. And they, I know, in their master plan are looking at more build out for housing on campus, but their campus footprint is small also, and they have needs in terms of academic space as well. So how do you balance that, you know, in a state system that isn't also flush with money? So if you have
Why not put the rooms on the bottom floor like they do parking garages, and upstairs is where kids live?
Right. Right.
You know, express elevators down to that classroom.
You will make it to that,
yes,
8 a.m. lab on time. So Arcata is looking at, you know, how do we try to have higher density student housing closer to the university. And I'm not saying that it will really draw students out of our single family residential neighborhoods, but that really is the intent of our general plan policy. And then how do we encourage students not to bring a car when they come to Humboldt? Because at this point, over 50% of the student population at HSU is coming from, you know, the LA or the San Diego County area, and they're not as much of a local population as they used to be. And so they do typically all come with cars. So if we can create infrastructure for housing and shopping and laundry and support services for students that's all within walking distance, then we can start to reduce the car impacts as well.
We knock out the hills and you can just have everybody on scooters.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not.
We're not Southern California.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it would. There are certain things. I still giggle when I think back about when Bob Ornelas was on the council and he wanted skateboard lanes.
Well, like, we built them. You
yeah.
Know, they're multi-use.
One way works. Other way, not so much so. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Karen Deamer.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Deamer. Talk Shop presented by Redeck and by CDH Painting. Karen, considering some of the different challenges that are out there, as you look at some of the exposure and the risk management and things of that nature that any city has, any municipality, any jurisdiction has, and most employers have also, how do you incorporate risk management, whether it's protocols and procedures, mm-hmm. or just this is how you do things, mm-hmm. into the day-to-day routines at the city?
Yeah. Well, as you might suspect, government's fairly structured in that manner. So yeah, we have a number of routine things, whether they're, you know, weekly, we used to call them, you know, tailgate sessions, but they do weekly safety sessions with their staff. We have pretty intensive training programs when you come on with the city. We do a fairly extensive orientation when you first are employed with the city. And then, you know, it's nice that we have a lot of software available to us now that we can just put into that software. Here are all of the regulations associated with risk management, whether it's OSHA requirements or, you know, requirements from the State Water Resources Control Board associated with our treatment plan. We can put them all into a database.
Don't run with knives, scissors.
Don't run with knives. Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get back to the final law of common sense. So we do try to, you know, that's, I think, what you hire for. You
and she's holding her head saying this.
We try to hire people with common sense. That's the first key. And really, probably, that is the first key in risk management, is you pick the right people. And so we do spend a lot of energy on that process. But then we have very intensive training programs that, you know, not only when you start with the city, but as you move your way through. And we remind, we train and train and train on the same things every single year, in part because they're state law, and but a lot of other topics because they fit with whatever the priorities are for the Arcata community.
There are systems, and then there's the understanding of.
Right.
How do you know if it's sticking? So you're avoiding. I mean, okay,
yeah.
By the letter of the law, great. All the reports are signed off. Everybody's happy, happy. But you still don't want somebody getting excited and running with the scissors, so
well,
to
you
speak.
Don't. You want to create a culture of safety. I mean, I think that's maybe the most important, that people feel comfortable, one, speaking out if they see acts that are unsafe in your organization. Because you really do want your employees to be protected, because the last thing you want is them to be out, certainly not on something that they were injured on the job. So I think, you know, the biggest piece that we talk with our supervisors about is creating that culture where it's safe to speak up if you feel like there is a routine activity that you do that does not appear to be safe. And so how can we augment that to make sure that it's safe for the community and for the employee both? And we've had, you know, I think good success with that. I will say government historically, I think, has, well, at least the city of Arcata, has had very safe work practices. Where we haven't always been perfect is documenting that, because documentation can seem pretty extreme when you're trying to get, you know, a significant workload done and out and service to your community. But that our practices overall have been safe and our staff have felt supported in being able to change those practices at times when they, you know, feel like we could improve them.
Do you have a compliance officer or somebody the equivalent of that, or am I looking at her?
Yeah, we don't have an official safety officer. We do have a compliance officer within our utilities departments, within our water and sewer. But that's really more to make sure that we're handling the state regulatory pieces of that.
Not employee-based, but more structural.
All of our supervisors, all of our staff crew supervisors really are that safety officer for the city.
What about the community members? I mean, are there, is that part of the equation? Not to, heaven forbid, try to find everybody with common sense, but to get the equivalent of compliance or understanding. I mean, there's still going to be that 10% that give you the flying finger of fate. Dandy, okay, and you accept that you're number one, okay. But you set that crowd aside, and you got the other 90% that, you know, they don't want to go to the hospital. They don't want to roll an ankle.
No.
They don't want to blow out a toenail because he's stubborn. Yeah, I mean, most of us are pain avoidant, trained and genetically biased. Yeah. So is there elements there that if the community reacted differently, that the city would be able to react differently also?
I can't think of a huge program that could be changed by, you know, community interaction changing with that. You know, we encourage citizens to report things that they see, whether it's, you know, an unsafe situation on a sidewalk or on a curb, or, I mean, that tends to be, you know, I would say the most common accident in terms of throughout the city is sort of that trip and fall accident over some piece of city infrastructure. And so if people can bring those to our attention earlier than later, then we can get on them. If you walk through the city of Arcata right now, you will see we have an intensive sidewalk replacement program that's happening. I would say definitely in every single neighborhood, not quite on every block, but when I was walking through the other day, it seemed like on every block. So we handle them the best we can. But if you really see something that looks unsafe in the community, please call, because that's, you know, the quickest way for us to get on and to repair. And we have had some, I mean, somebody, you know, can take out half of a street sign and then you've got the other half or it's sitting there dangling and hanging right at the level of, you know, a bicyclist's head. We want to know about that right away. If you see some water bubbling up from a sewer main, you know, or from a manhole, we want to know about that right away. So.
Or from the road?
Or from just the road.
Just yeah.
Coming, yeah.
Yeah, there's one that's out here by Harrison, just outside the city limits.
Yeah, I see that one all the time.
Oh, it's got to be a foot. Well, no, okay. It's about 8 inches down before the water's there, so I don't know how deep it is. But the sprayback or the trail of gravel going, I guess, underneath the vehicles traveling on it.
It goes down.
It's 15, 20 feet. Yeah.
You go, no,
really? So how bad does it have to get before somebody reports it?
They
somebody sees something.
Service.
Somebody takes care of it. Whatever it is to deal with this
I've
condition.
Called on that specific one, I think, 3 times, and somebody's always called before me. So I think people do call pretty frequently on that particular.
Just have to show up with their own bag of cement and fill the sucker.
There must be something else going on under there. I'm not sure what it is. I can assure you it's something that a bag of cement probably won't fix.
Well, okay, fair enough. And it'll probably get kind of ugly on the undercarriage of the first couple of rigs driving through. KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time, 3:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, what's the fiscal year wrapping up like?
This fiscal year is wrapping up on schedule, and the council has just approved our budget for the following fiscal year. It's pretty much, I'd say, a status quo budget for us. We are seeing slight increases in sales tax, which is a good sign, and we are seeing increases in property taxes. So that the two good economic indicators for Arcata. Next year's
budget. How does the property tax go up? Do you assess every year?
It's based on sales. So as properties turn over, and under Prop 13, those properties turn over, things get reassessed, and we start to see property taxes go up. They also get reassessed through major renovation or through development. So as you've seen in Arcata, we've had a lot of vacant parcels and kind of holes even around the downtown area in the plaza get filled in. So as those properties expand, then we see increase in property taxes there as well. And then the other big infusion, I'd say the newest infusion into the city's budget, will be the return of our Youth and Family Services Division at the Police Department through Measure Z funds. So they have funded two juvenile diversion counselors that will operate through the entire Northern Humboldt High School district. So both McKinleyville High and Arcata High, and then all of the feeder schools that feed into those. So that will be a program that we will start rolling out next fall as school gets underway to try to address the needs of kids as we start to see them kind of go off the correct path.
Now, is that the city doing that, or is that somebody else?
The city is going to take both the juvenile diversion counselors, and then they have funded one school resource officer as well, an actual officer position. The city had one diversion counselor position for many years, and it was very successful. When we went through some hard budget times a couple of years ago, we had to eliminate that program. And I think what they saw in the community was the result of us eliminating that program was an increase in costs associated with probation and repeat offenders. So we're excited to see that roll out in even a larger way in our county and try to address some of the younger crime in a proactive way to try to save costs later.
Sound like a cop. You talked to Tom before you came in?
He was a huge supporter of the program and definitely attended a lot of meetings. But, the entire county board was very supportive of seeing that program roll out. And we would hope to see it expand even into Eureka. We'll get a couple of years under our belt and then they can hopefully have something to model after.
Not into Eureka, even into Eureka.
Well, I shouldn't say even in, but throughout all of Humboldt County.
Not that old rivalry thing has really ever really existed, even in Eureka.
Doesn't exist to me.
Well, that's because you're a Wisconsin girl. What the heck? Is there anything we ought to be paying attention to in the last little bit out of the state that could impact next year's budget?
We're not hearing anything that's going to kind of attack local revenues at this point. So I think that most of the jurisdictions have adopted budgets for next fiscal year, and they're all looking solvent. So I think that's a positive step.
Hooray, hooray.
Yeah, it's a nice place to be.
Go walk on a sidewalk, okay?
One without cracks.
There you go. Thanks for coming by. We've been talking shop with Karen Diemer. Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hugs from you.